Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. For many years, people have said local governments should be run like a business. It should be efficient and cost-effective. And taxpayers should be treated like clients or customers, ensuring excellent service and accountability. Then ask anyone who has gone before a local council as a delegation to ask for something. You get 10 minutes to speak, politicians ask a couple of questions, you sit and wait until your item comes up on the agenda. Then, depending on your request, you get what you want or council votes to accept your presentation for, quote, informational purposes, quote. There your request goes to sit on a shelf and gather dust. In 2019, the Federation of Canadian Municipalities released a national poll saying 56% of Canadians feel their local government can improve the quality of life in their community. That's barely half. On today's show, Cobourg Deputy Mayor Nicole Beatty will explain a major overhaul to the way council is run. The goal is to make it easier for people to talk to politicians and get more input. It is also going to change the structure of how council operates. For some, it means a more transparent system that will give politicians and the public a greater voice into decisions. For others, it could mean a path to full-time councillors and a power grab by those in charge. Have a listen and you can decide. I'm so pleased to have with me today Nicole Beatty, the Deputy Mayor of Cobourg. Welcome back to Consider This.
Hi, Rob. It's always nice to be here.
Can you tell the listeners why they should care about changes to this governance proposal? Like, why does this matter?
Fair question. I love governance. I do work in organizational governance and policy for the nonprofit sector, but to answer your question, why should residents care? Well, ultimately, the possible changes to our governance structure is really the composition of not only how council will govern and lead the community, but it will also help, I'm hoping, to evolve and shape a reimagined way in which council and the community can connect on future decision-making and future community building procedures. So I do hope that residents pay attention and care about this, because it's ultimately comes down on helping to shape the next model of how council governs the community.
So let's begin by describing the old system council used before these changes were proposed. Can you very simply describe how it worked?
Yeah, we don't operate on a ward system, obviously. Members are elected at large and we serve at large. In the past, we worked on what was called a coordinator system. So this was based on the different departments or divisions of the town. You know, we had a coordinator of public works, of planning, of arts and culture, and so on. And a member of council was assigned that portfolio, or they would apply for that portfolio shortly after being, after inauguration, after being sworn in. And that member of council was essentially the liaison for that department. So citizens would know who to go to or who to contact. And then we had a rotating chair. So that council member would represent their coordinator files or introduce those files or staff reports and motions on the council floor. So that was how council portfolios were assigned. And then we operate on what's called a committee of the whole and a regular council. So on one Monday, we have committee of the whole. This is your informal council meeting where everything is introduced onto the floor. We debate, we discuss, we bring forward motions. We would hear delegations from the community. The following Monday, we would have what's called regular council. And that's essentially when a lot of resolutions would be passed or put into, like a bylaw would be created, or it would officially be endorsed and become part of the municipal pipeline. And so we followed that rhythm. And then in between all of that, we would have advisory committee meetings. So some are statutory, like accessibility and heritage, but then we would have like a climate action advisory committee, a planning and development advisory committee, a transportation advisory committee, or an ad hoc committee. And these committees were comprised of citizen volunteers, subject matter experts, or folks who are passionate about that area of the municipality. And this is when business of the municipality would come forward, and advisory groups would review materials and make recommendations to council, which would then come forward at committee of the whole. So lots of layers and lots of formalities through these discussions. And what the governance review is looking to do is to open that up a little bit and propose a new modern framework for engagement.
If you're going back, we would think, oh, it's the deputy mayor. The deputy mayor traditionally was in charge of the budget. And right. The budget had a committee and they would meet and talk about stuff. And then it was your job to bring that budget forward and council would discuss it. And that was your job. But that's the old way. When did it become apparent that a change was needed?
I think the driving factor in this was the last term of council went through a service delivery and an organizational review. So again, this is essentially an exercise as to find efficiencies and modernization in the municipality. And one of the key recommendations that came out of the org review was a governance delivery framework review. And I also think it became even more apparent locally when in the last term, Northumberland County Council went through a review and implemented a standing committee structure. To my understanding, Rob, Cobourg may be one of the few municipalities in Ontario that operate on a coordinated system. But that's the unique thing about a municipality, right? Like there's models that exist, but we get to create our own procedural bylaw. And I think what this draft report and draft recommendations from staff brings forward is a balanced blend between some modern governance frameworks for the community to consider.
The recommendation talks about something called the standing committee system. Can you explain the system that you're looking at?
And I'll try to explain this as clearly and efficiently as possible, or as succinctly as possible. So the standing committees would be what staff have recommended. The four committees is to try to evolve from the coordinator system. So as you'll see, we have like a public works and a planning committee. We have a governance and strategic initiatives and finance committee. And then we have like parks and rec and community services and ECDEV. So we are still trying to organize the standing committees around the business of the municipality and how our divisions are structured for some consistency. But what the standing committees would do is they would have, well, this is recommended to be three members of council. It could have more. And then the particular parts of the business or those divisions or those projects would come forward at those standing committees. And that's where members of the public or delegations would come forward too. So a more smaller gathering, a more focused agenda, more opportunity for a deeper dive. And then what would happen is decisions made by the standing committees would come forward to a consent agenda at regular council. Regular council would have all members of council, and it would either be received and endorsed, or a member of council could still pull out a particular issue if they weren't happy with the recommendation or the way the vote went. And quorum, if you know, a four votes of the seven would still allow for that file to be reviewed and the decision could still change. So ultimately what the community needs to understand is everything still goes through the proper procedures, but the final decision will always happen at that full meeting of all of council.
Let's unpack more of that then, because I think that's that's really interesting, because on the surface, it sounds like council is losing a lot of citizen input. You know, these advisory committees and these boards, they were really, you know, the place where, I mean, I remember distinctly in the last council, Parks and Recreation Committee was really, really engaged at a very high level. They worked really, really hard. They brought a lot of stuff forward, Parks and Rec Master Plan, a whole bunch of stuff. And it seemed to work really, really well. I'm not clear how this system is going to better serve the public. Can you give us an example that will show us that this new system is going to be better? Because, you know, all these task force and ad hoc committees all depend on council, whether they want to create one or not. Whereas mm-hmm. the other ones, they always seem to be there. You know, every month, 12 months a year or whatever, they were going to be meeting and you could go and talk to them, or they would be dealing with issues. How is this going to be better? And can you give us an example?
Yeah, for sure. I can appreciate why some members of the community think that there's less advisory opportunities. What I definitely heard during the last election was people wanted more informal and less structured ways to get involved. And I believe the clerk could validate this statement, but we've actually been seeing recruitment for advisory committees decrease over the last few times, just because of the level of informality, the amount of work, a four-year commitment versus more subject-specific or time-bound commitment or more episodic expert involvement. One of my favorite working groups, actually there was two in our last term of council. One was Memorial Arena, brought together multiple disciplines, different citizens, some from advisory committees, others that were just applied from the general public. And it, for about a year and a half, it was a working group on coming up with how to repurpose the recreational facility. The Municipal Land Inventory Group, that was an informal working group of council. And we were able to come up with lands available for potential affordable housing, mixed-use housing developments. And so again, this got really into the nitty-gritty, in my opinion, less bureaucracy at the meetings and more collaborative thinking. And maybe it's just the nature of how I operate and think, but task force and working groups, you actually get like some clear, concrete outputs. And I think staff love that interaction from the community rather than, you know, this very formal and guided advisory committee structure that can sometimes stifle citizen engagement. Again, some people are going to view this as trying to become more of a closed government, and others are going to see this as a more exciting way to be a part of shaping their municipality. And this is obviously why it's going through such a rigorous three-step community engagement process.
The report calls for participatory committees, public delegations, innovative public engagement methods. But when you think about the way that delegations work now, I mean, you know, somebody comes up, stands up before council, they get 10 minutes, it's timed. The presenter makes their thing, then they get asked a couple of questions, you know, the politicians thank them, then there's a couple of questions, and then, you know, it's accepted for information purposes. Mm-hmm. How can this be improved? I mean, when somebody says for informational purposes, it's almost like, you know, this thing's being sent to its death now, because it's going to go, you know, how many people tell you, oh, it's going to go sit on a shelf and gather dust. I mean, I'm thinking now of the sleeping cabin, most recently, the sleeping cabin proposal. Delegations came and, you know, it feels like it's dead. How is this new system going to change that, so that it's not so formulaic? It, you know, counselors are going to be more than just asking a couple of questions and then thanking somebody and accepting it for informational purposes.
Mm-hmm. I think in that, excellent points. I think in that more focused environment, you can have a more meaningful conversation. With community presentations, you can have more of an exchange between committee members, in this case, the standing committee, and the delegation, versus right now at Committee of the Whole or regular council, when you do a delegation, what's a motions on the floor that council's considering, you can't be part of that conversation after your 10 minutes is up. So the way that I understand and have interpreted, you know, these community presentations or open forums or town halls is a more, a greater exchange, a greater opportunity for dialogue and questions of clarification and follow-up. I also think that by focusing on the standing committees, because it would be the same as with the coordinator meetings. And again, this was something that the public never saw, but there'd be a recurring agenda all the time. And so you had a better pulse on following, again, if you were in that lane of the municipality or that area of unfinished business. I just think it's a more niche and boutique way of getting involved in the area of the municipality that interests you the most, rather than coming to a 7-hour council meeting where you're maybe only there for one item. So then this way you could go to a 2-hour meeting and really dive into all the themes, and hopefully citizens will learn about a complementary file that they maybe weren't aware of. So again, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't fully know how this unfolds, but in participating in a few standing committees as a delegate at the county level, I do appreciate, you do feel like there's a little bit more attention to detail and more of an opportunity for that reciprocal dialogue, for that exchange.
In the report to council, if you read between the lines, this document is as much for staff as it is for politicians. What do you see as the changes that will impact staff and their performance?
Good question. My take from it is I really do hope it's going to create more efficiencies for our staff. You know, right now there's a lot of overtime hours that are put into long meetings. Again, just the marathon committee, the whole, we had just last week, you know, we have all directors sitting in on that meeting, whereas at a standing committee, they would be there for their block of time. All directors show up to our committee and regular councils because they are there to support the municipality and not just their agenda items. So I think that there's going to be more efficiencies in the amount of staff hours that are spent just sitting in a meeting that might not be relevant to them. I think we're going to streamline reporting. You know, right now we have staff resources acting as recording secretaries for all these different committees that require their own reports and their own tracking. And that could be in a much more coordinated effort. I mean, efficiency sounds like an overkill in this exercise, but I really do think that it's going to make the most use of staff's time and resources. But I also hope that through the standing committee structure, it connects the community to the various levels of the municipalities as well. And they're able to meet, you know, the employees who dedicate their careers to public service. So creating a bit more community connections, but and hopefully it's just also to just, I think sometimes we get really redundant in writing staff reports. And so this way, my understanding with the standing committee, it's like an evolving continuum rather than start, stop meeting. So I'm hoping that we're going to see more rolling over of work, evolution of work. I also think it's going to help keep the municipality accountable to its unfinished business. Instead of the, you know, this popcorn machine of every file going all over the way, I think we're going to be able to create a dashboard and a workflow that is sustainable for staff, but also a lot more productive for council and the community, is my current understanding of the options for discussion.
Now, the report talks about less formal approaches to decision-making, and you've described some of those in our conversation. But sometimes less structure can mean chaos. Mm. And how do you prevent things from devolving either into anarchy or into a dictatorship under a politician or a group of politicians that are bullying others and the public, and they're not really opening it up, but they're instead closing it down.
Well, the great thing is we have one of the best clerks, if not the best clerk in Ontario, who will definitely keep us accountable and on track. My understanding in studying standing committees in Ontario and doing my research through, you know, agencies like AMO and OSUM and other things like that, is it actually keeps more members of council accountable to each other. And almost you have to have that discussion at standing committee, which is where that number of three kind of works. Well, I mean, we're seven members of council, right? So when you're at regular council, a majority vote would be 4-3. A standing committee of three, even if it was passed unanimously or 2-1, a member of council could still bring that out at regular council, and it would have the opportunity to change there on the council floor. So I actually think a standing committee keeps more of us in the public eye accountable, and the community can watch how that decision-making evolves from standing committee to regular council, rather than sometimes what is a free-for-all of decision-making at committee of the whole and regular council. So I've definitely had a lot of concerns like that from members of the public, but my understanding in what I've researched and spoken to council colleagues in other municipalities is they've actually found that something like a standing committee actually keeps members of council more accountable and ideally creates a bit more of that collaboration and team building.
I'm sure there's people listening that are very cynical and they're saying to themselves, aren't you just creating the more work for each counselor? And then rather than having experts that know a lot about a particular area in council, now politicians are going to have to know about everything. And it's just going to turn them into full-time politicians. And we're going to have to pay them more because they're just going to be so busy with all these task force and ad hoc committees and standing committees and regular council. Like we're creating a Goliath, a monolith.
Yeah, fair. I think in the recommendations, or it could be one, I'm of the opinion that members of council shouldn't be on these task force or working groups. We're the ones receiving the information. And one of the things I heard from one of our advisory committees that would have to be reimagined is members of council sitting on the committee actually are a barrier for people feeling comfortable and speaking freely, because they think there's always, you know, the formal politician, or I think just having a counselor at the table immediately makes something political. More meetings possibly, but are we sitting in chambers for 12 hours, or can we break that 12 hours up over the course of a week and a half, 2 weeks? This is a working role. I'm of the opinion that a member of council should know more about levels of the municipality and what we're voting on. I'm not a subject matter expert on everything, but I know more time to study information and an opportunity to get into a deeper dive of things. I would definitely feel a lot more comforted than come regular council when we are making those votes. So you can peel an onion in many different ways, right? It's just a matter of, I don't know where I was going with that analogy, but whether it's, you know, 12 hours at a time or 12 hours spread over a few meetings, it looks like more on paper. But I know when the clerk was showing us the comparison of the different committee agendas, at least with the standing committees, you would be focusing on the mandates given to you, versus a full month of council meetings where you're really having to follow, you know, 10 different meetings where they would all be coordinated into these central themes or standing committees with very clear and collaborative mandates.
If you and I have done our job in this conversation, people will be so interested in this that they'll want to have input. How can they do that?
Yeah, right now, the governance review, there's a survey online on engagecoburg.ca. I know some people might think that they are survey fatigue, but this really is a data-driven, a quantitative opportunity for us to get some really good information. There's different things that we're testing from the types of committees to how you want to engage with council. And then we're going to be having an open house in May 26, I believe. Please fact check that date in your written word. And then there'll be a planning meeting in June with council where we will be receiving all of this information. So over the course of now, there's an online survey. You can attend open houses in May to get some verbal context and have an opportunity to chat with councillors and staff. And then there'll be that public meeting of council where we'll be hearing all the recommendations. And then after the public engagement section, a portion of the exercise, staff will recalibrate and bring forward some hard recommendations for the public and council to consider. So, and while this is all happening, I'm hoping that we'll also be doing our the timeline is meant to line up with our strategic plan so that we have a sense too of our priorities for this term of council.
I want you to imagine for a moment that you're sitting at a kitchen table in somebody's home, and you're looking at somebody that's very cynical about local government and council. And what do you want to say to them to get them motivated to get engaged in this process to make a difference?
Very easy to be cynical in this day and age, but what I say to people is show up. Your voice does matter. It's not a cliche. There are many of us that are listening. The more diverse and active and constructive voices we can hear, a greater representation that we can have in the community, we are accountable to the voices of our citizens. And the one thing I really always say at a kitchen table is, if you are not aware, please don't risk making an assumption. Reach out, ask the question. I was always told that a question is a request for more information. You have wonderful members of council who are very approachable and who have created informal opportunities to come in and say hello, call or email. But in this era, the more we need to hear from more voices, we need collaboration, we need constructive input. Yeah, and we can all be part of making our community a better place to live. But assumptions and attacks are not productive. But open, hard, uncomfortable conversations that are an exploration towards a solution, that's how change and consensus building is achieved. But that's my worldview.
Nicole Beattie, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for your interest in this.
That was Coburg Deputy Mayor Nicole Beattie. If you have thoughts about how you would like to see council run, you can fill out a survey at the Engage Coburg website at engagecoburg.ca. That's engagecoburg, all one word, .ca. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.